I'd like to invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Today we will look at verses 21 through 24. The focus of the sermon this morning is on 21 through 24. I'll begin the reading of verse 18, however, and I'd like to read through 26. We are going to take this section, 21 through 24, in two sermons. This is that wonderful verse in Scripture where Paul says to live is Christ, to die and to die is gain. And so I would like to take 2 weeks to look at what Paul is saying in these verses. And so this week we'll focus on, of course, as the title of the sermon says, to live is Christ. Before we hear God's word, let us go to him once again in prayer. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, as we sojourn through this valley of tears, and as you lead us to streams of and pools of peace and restoration that is coming with the new age, we pray, Father, that you would give us spiritual strength to do your commandments, to obey the words of Christ, and give us the strength by your word. Father, strengthen us by your gospel. Conform us, body and soul and mind, into the image of Jesus Christ, that he might be magnified in our bodies, whether by life or by death. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, beloved, this is the word of God. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our Lord remains forever. In verse 20, Paul gives the reason why he could have great confidence that whether through life or death, Christ would be glorified through him. But also, I think, one of the reasons why he could rejoice in the midst of suffering. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. If he dies, Christ will be magnified by his service in the gospel. If he lives, he will continue to serve the gospel, serve the church, and in that way, Christ will be magnified, glorified, whether by life or by death. But he also gives a reason here why he could rejoice in the midst of suffering. Verse 20, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I will rejoice. I rejoice that Christ is proclaimed, yes, and I will rejoice. And he goes on to say, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. There are a couple of things we should think about here already. First, Paul once again invites the Philippians to take a peek into his soul. He's opening himself up to the church here. He says, for to me, that is to say, from the very depths of my heart, this is how I feel. This is what I believe. This is what my life is grounded upon. This is inside me, and I'm sharing this with you. And what the Philippians would come to find out as Paul was doing this, as they looked into Paul's heart, was something probably fairly surprising. And we'll talk about that next week, Lord willing. But this is what Paul was doing. He was opening up his heart to them, for to me. The second thing is this. Paul was clearly talking about life and death. There's no question. This is what is on his mind here, and this is what he is talking about in these verses. Life and death. He's giving answers to the questions, what does it mean to live? And also, what does it mean to die? Big questions, are they not? Lots and lots of people have sought to answer these questions in their own way, through their pagan philosophy, through false religions, whatever it may be. But Paul, of course, was speaking about life and death under the infallible inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so this is truth. This is true truth. This is truth for everyone, whether you believe or not. But aside from this, Paul was speaking to Christians. He was talking to the Philippian church. And so, to some degree, his listeners had already been acquainted with what the Word of God says about life and death. What is the actual truth about these questions? What does it mean to live, and what does it mean to die? And so they'd already become acquainted with some of the answers to these questions, or at least the essence of the answers to these questions. That men and women die because of our sins, or that men and women die is because of our sins. That is something that the Philippians would have already been familiar with. They would already also been familiar with the fact that Christ has defeated death by his death and by his powerful resurrection on the third day. He died so that Christians might not die. He died in place of us. Whoever believes in Christ then will not perish. They will not die. They will live. And so that's something that the Philippians had come to hear about and believe. And that's something that they already knew, even as Paul wrote this letter. And so as he said years earlier to the Corinthian church about death, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now this truth that the Philippians had already on some level come into contact with, and this truth that we know as well as Christians, this truth is all well and good so long as it's truth about death that's out there. It's great truth as long as it's a truth about somebody else dying. Not me dying. I don't want to think about that right now. More likely, or I don't need to think about that right now, maybe because of your age or you think you're in tip-top shape, the best health that you've been in, or like I've said before, maybe you just don't want to think about it, as a Christian even. But Paul, at this point, was not afforded this privilege. Death, by way of execution, was a very real prospect for him in prison. He had to think about it. And so Paul was speaking about death and life here as one who had a measure of authority on the subject. He very possibly could die. And so verse 21, for to me, to die. What does it mean? What does it mean when the Christian dies? That's what he's dealing with here. What does it mean for Paul to die? Naturally, as one is compelled to think about death in a more concentrated way, they are also compelled to think about life, living. If you're forced to think about the end of your life, for whatever reason, you are naturally forced to think about what it means to live. What does it mean to live as a Christian? What is important? That is what Paul is dealing with here. And so Paul tells us, for me to live is Christ. Now the apostle said a similar thing several years before he wrote this letter, in a letter to the Galatians. He said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, to understand what this means here, we need to take a look at what he says about living in the following verses. He refers to living in the flesh twice here. Verse 22, if I am to live in the flesh. And then verse 24, but to remain in the flesh. Now, this was just really another way of saying to live. What does it mean to live as a Christian in the flesh, in this body, to be a Christian and to continue living in this age? It means that Christ, on one level here, it means that Christ is present with you by His Holy Spirit. To live is Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so to live in the flesh, in this age, in your body at this time, is Christ, is to have Christ dwelling in you, with you, present with you by His Spirit. Body and soul, you are united to Him. His life is your life. To live is Christ. Your soul has been renewed. You have been given a new heart by Christ. But so long as we live in this wicked age, these renewed souls that we possess in Christ, they are housed by physical bodies susceptible to death. And that's something of what Paul was referring to here when he's talking about remaining in the flesh, in this physical body. We have to live in this body. If you live, you live in a body. You have no other way to live, at least on this side of the grave. If Paul were to be executed in prison, the authorities would kill his body. They did not have authority over his soul. Jesus made that clear. Now, this state of living is true for all of us, friends. Whether we are facing execution or not, we live in the flesh. We remain in the flesh, a flesh that is susceptible to death. Our bodies are vulnerable to death. That is part of the experience that we have as Christians, to live in this age. Now, had Christ not died for us, had Christ not ransomed us by His death, we would suffer not only physical death, but spiritual death as well, which would last forever. But that is something that Christians will not experience, spiritual death, because Christ died. But our bodies, however, our bodies, the flesh, as Paul calls it here, they can die. Your flesh can return to the dust from which it came. Now, this physical death that even Christians experience can be traced back to the consequences of Adam's sin and our sin, of course. The wages of sin is death. That is what Scripture teaches us. But for the Christian, Jesus Christ, by His death, has taken away forever the sting of death. It's gone. Death is now a passageway into life, another type of life, which, Lord willing, we'll look at next week. For now, what this means as a Christian, for Paul, as a Christian, for Paul and for Paul, in our inner being, in the power and the fellowship of the Spirit of Christ, we have a life that is associated with heaven. Inner being is made for heaven. It's renewed. We are a new creation in our inner being, fit for another type of experience, another type of life, eternal life, the age to come. But this soul that we have today, that's meant for there, dwells and lives in a physical body here, in the flesh, remaining in the flesh. This flesh is associated, this body is associated with this old age that's passing away. And so your body, when you die, will return to the dust that is part of a whole creation that is passing away. That is what these bodies are associated with, our physical bodies, that old age, corrupted and cursed by sin. So you can imagine, if that's true, the tension that Christians live with every day of their lives. We have souls that are fit for the age to come that are housed in physical temples, bodies that are prone to pass away, destined for the grave. Now, part of what is good about the gospel, friends, is that on the last day, Christ will raise these physical bodies from the grave. That's not the end of the story, your dust returning to dust. That is not the end of your body's existence. At the end of the age, Christ will raise these bodies from the grave, and he will glorify them. He will make them fit for heavenly existence. He will make our bodies fit for heaven. They are not fit now. If you were forced to put on all black insulated ski gear as you left here this morning and you walked outside, you would know immediately that that outfit is not fit for Texas summer in July. And so you would want to get rid of that clothing. It's similar with our bodies. Our bodies are not fit for heaven yet. And yet, this is what we have. This is what we've been given until that day comes. Our bodies, as they currently are not yet fit to be with the Lord in a sinless existence, so we die. But until we die, we live and move in the flesh. Now, what does that look like, or what should it look like? Well, for Paul, he says, to live is Christ. Now, literally, in the original, if you take the original literally, he says, to live Christ. Up front, to be a Christian means that the life we are given in this age should be used to glorify Christ, to make him look good, to magnify him, to magnify his love in this body. That is what it means to be a Christian. We live by faith in Christ. Paul mentions the glory of Christ in verse 26. In verse 29, he says, it is granted to Christians to not only believe in Christ, but to suffer for him. To put it another way, Christ should not be compartmentalized in your life. To live is sports. To live is my job. To live is even my marriage, relationships with others. To live is to make sure that my kids are successful. No, that is not what Paul says. Although those things are good and you learn how to deal with those things from your relationship with Christ, Paul says fundamentally to live is Christ, to make him look good in all of your dealings with people and all of your dealings in this world as you remain in the flesh. Everything you do in the flesh, in this life, should be done for him. That's what this means. Everything. Every single thing. As you remain in this flesh, everything you do should be done for Christ. To live is Christ. Now look at how Paul further characterizes life in Christ and for Christ. If I am to live, verse 22, if I am to live, this means fruitful labor for me. Verse 24, to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Remember, he's speaking to the church. He's thinking about living in the flesh as a Christian. What does it mean? It means to magnify Christ. Well, what does that look like? Well, Paul tells us here in verse 22 and 24, if I am to live, it's fruitful labor for me in the church. Verse 24, it's more necessary on your account, the church's account. Meaning, for Paul, he's saying this, me continuing to live does not mean retirement from service. It does not ultimately mean retirement from work. It means God will use my ministry to build you up. Paul says it is necessary. It is labor. It's work. To live is partly, according to Paul, to continue to labor, to serve. To live is Christ, partly means to continue to serve and to work. For Paul, living meant working. If I live, fruitful labor, work. To live is Christ, what does that look like? Labor for the church, working for Christ, producing fruit, as far as he was able, of course. Not just fruitful labor anywhere, but fruitful labor for the church. He says, on your account, he has the church in mind. Verse 29, your progress and joy in the faith. Remember again, he's thinking about the biggest questions you can possibly ask as a human being. What does it mean to live and what does it mean to die? These are the questions that Christians ask as well. We still struggle with the true meaning behind the answers to these questions. What does it mean to live? What does it mean to die? Paul is giving us the answer to one of these questions here. What does it mean to live? And as he's thinking about these things and answering those questions, he has the church in mind. And so Paul, what we see here then is that Paul defined living in this age by his union with Christ, which necessarily involved Paul's relationship to the church, right? He defined living in this age, first and foremost in his relationship to Christ, but what that entails is that he had to define living in his relationship to the church. What does it mean to live? You have to think about your union with Christ when you answer that question. And because of that, you have to think about the church. What does it mean to live? To live is Christ. To live is to serve Christ and his body, the church. That's how Paul answers the question. If I live, I live to magnify Christ. What does that look like? Serving the church. Now, we are not apostles. We all, friends, though, all have a role to play in the church. Your relationship to Christ and his church should not just be one part of your life among lots of other parts. It wasn't for Paul. That's where he began. To me, to live is Christ. To live is Christ, to see him magnified, and that means to lay down my body for my brothers and sisters in the church, especially for the brothers and sisters in the church closest to you. Your wife, your husband, your children. It begins there. Think about what it means to live as Christ in that capacity. And then you will be fit to serve the broader church. But this is where the Apostle Paul began. Now, why? Why did Paul go here? Why does he answer this question this way? Why does all of this come to mind when he's thinking about living? Because this is how Christ lived. He came to earth and labored for us. He worked for us, the church. He laid down his life for us. He had no other agenda than to glorify his Father by laboring and dying for his bride, the church. That's why he came. That was who Paul was united to in faith. And because of what Christ has done, it taught Paul how to live, and it teaches us how to live as well. The gospel, friends, that is where we get our understanding of what Paul meant here. To live is Christ. To him be all praise and glory now and forevermore. Let's pray together, friends.